Blah!
Ah!
So, what is going on? Last night, a fantastic night at Dodger Stadium. We had a blast. The seats were, I don't know, how would you say the seats were, Bergie?
They were good. I enjoyed
them.
I
thought they were good.
Yeah.
What section were you in?
Reserve.
Reserve. We're in reserve.
Reserve. That ain't flying with me.
It's not flying with you.
Fine.
You're a ticket snob.
I am a big ticket snob. If I'm not down, like, if I can't put my feet on one of the dugouts, I'm out.
Oh, God.
Oh, man. Listen
crazy
to you.
That's great. We were up there.
I need
with
that.
Real
what
fans.
Do they call, Bergman, what do they call that fancy restaurant behind home plate where you can eat all the prime rib
club.
You want?
Dugout
yeah,
Club.
I need pass it to that or I'm not going.
Yeah, I've been there. I got to go there once. I got to go there once.
Hey, by the way, Morales buried the lead.
What?
I'm surprised he didn't mention it.
What?
You made it on time.
Made it on time and got my Julio Diaz bobblehead.
All right, now be honest. What time did you walk through the gate? So at what time roughly did they hand you the bobblehead?
I would say at about 6:30 I got the bobblehead.
Okay, so you pushed it right up to the limit. Because I think that maybe 6:45 you're probably not getting
they
it. Because I got a text from you that you were running late. And I texted back, easiest mythical money ever. Jorge, you had two chances to win. Was it $5,000 you bet that Mason
Five.
Would not make it on time?
Five, yeah.
So the minute he texted, I'm running late, I figured, all right, he's getting there in the second inning.
So check this out. 6:45, Bergman and I are making a video. Oh, he's running late. Nobody to the left. Nobody to the right. He's not here. I'm going to win $5,000 mythical money easy. 5 minutes later, as soon as I'm posting the video, he shows up.
Yep.
Nice, Mace.
Walked right up at the exact same time. It was
under
amazing.
Under the wire. Made it under the wire. And by the way, not everybody got their Julio Diaz bobbleheads. And in fact, they were you guys offered money for yours on the way out of the
stadium? How much?
Stadium?
A guy offered me 20. And then as I'm standing in line for snacks, somebody came up said 60. And I said, no way.
Oh, I'm doing the 60.
There was a guy.
Guy offered me 80 in the parking lot.
Oh. Wow. There was a guy sitting next to me.
I'm doing the 60 or the 80. Anything north of 50, and it's all yours.
There was a guy next to me that was offering $100 to somebody in the row in front of me. Yeah.
Damn.
$100. Bergman, you'd give yours up for $100.
I would absolutely not. No.
Well,
why?
No, because I'm not going to resell it. I'm like, I want it. I want the bobblehead.
It is a cool bobblehead.
I have
a
bobblehead.
It's a piece of plastic. It's $100. Bergman, you moron. If they gave.
What is it with this? Call idiot, moron? Who are you?
Both are applicable in this case. If you. I can. Trust me.
Hey, dumbass.
I can get you. That would fit too. I can get you a Julio Urias bobblehead. Pocket the $100 and then make a couple phone calls.
No, man. Like, it's all about going there and enjoying and getting the things that they give you away.
Yes,
like,
it is.
Oh,
yeah.
All
no,
about
it's
that.
Great. I don't care about the
that.
Money. You listen to you. You, the guy that has to put
everyone
his feet up on the dugout club.
Everyone cares about money.
Mr. 1%er over there.
I'm proud to be a 1%er. Like Michael Thompson says, by the way, Michael coming in today.
Yeah.
Everybody should want to be a 1%er, shouldn't they?
But as a Dodgers fan, I appreciate the bobblehead. In fact, my bobblehead is promised. My mom has a friend who's got a little boy who's 6 years old. He's a Mexican-American kid. His name is Giancarlo. He wanted the bobblehead, so he's going to get it.
First of all,
sell it.
Very cool name, Giancarlo.
Yes.
Everybody named Giancarlo is cool. Giancarlo Stanton, who plays for the Yankees. Giancarlo Esposito, who played Gus Fring on Breaking Bad. Anybody named Giancarlo is hip. I'd love that name for a six-year-old. Well, that's an extenuating circumstance. If you're getting it for a kid, great. Bergman is going to go put it on. I'm putting it on the shelf with my other bobblehead.
That's exactly where it is. You don't have to say it like that, John. It's actually, if you go into my office, there are bobbleheads everywhere.
And right next to it, I have my Mason and Ireland bobblehead. And right next to that.
Oh, no. That's one thing I will never have and I never want.
See, oh, really? Because I got an extra if you want it.
We got a bobblehead. I've actually got mine out in the living room, the den, and I love it. But the problem is, it was both of us. So one side of it was me,
and
one
we were both extremely overweight. The bobblehead is portrayed as a fat bobblehead.
We both look fat, but if one of those A-ball teams wanted to do a bobblehead night, I would love to have a bobblehead night. I would love, and I would.
Yeah, I still got Bergman, a few of those laying around.
And Bergman, you would absolutely put that up in your office, wouldn't you?
Probably.
Well,
no,
then you're not getting one. Screw you.
Screw you.
Yeah, screw you guys too, especially you, John. Jeez.
Excellent.
Following through, Bergman did clean out his helmet and took it home, his Nachos helmet.
Well, what's wrong with that?
I think it's ridiculous. It's a helmet.
What are you talking about? You just said yesterday that you grab other people's cups.
I got four
on your way
cups
out of the stadium.
Night. I got
you don't...
four souvenir cups. Four.
Dude, we're in a pandemic.
You're
Why are
crazy.
You taking other people's cups?
They already went through the washing machine. They're done.
Wait,
they're in,
you
my,
had to drive,
in my cupboards.
You had to drive them from the stadium to your house unwashed.
Yeah, but I mean, so what? I'm not.
So what?
I'm,
we're in a pandemic.
Yeah, so I don't believe that bringing the cups home is any risk.
Just
I got four.
Mason,
I got four.
Mason,
of them. Yeah.
They're not yours.
And by the way, how many things do Bergman and I agree on? We both agree on this is disgusting and gross.
When did we get this way, John? When did we get to the point where it was all just anger at each other?
No. Greg, I like to look to things that will bring us together.
Right.
Mason
okay.
taking other people's cups at baseball games is disgusting, and we're united on this front.
Very united.
The other thing I'll come around to your guys' side on is Bueller. I'm glad he pitched last night.
There you go.
Because he kind of found his groove. And Mace, even though I'm going to surprise you with this opinion,
okay.
Even though I still think the Giants are locked to win the division, they're up by two with five to go. I have no problem with Scherzer pitching tonight, because again, as you like to point out, at the end of tonight, it could be one, and one with four to go is a fighting chance.
Absolutely.
But after tonight, if they're down two with four to go.
Right, the magic number's four now.
Then I, if I'm Dave Roberts, I walk into the clubhouse and say, show of hands, who wants to play, who doesn't? Kershaw, you want to pitch? Okay, go ahead. JT, you want a day off? You, Trey Turner,
you know
you've been
what the
great.
Cardinals are doing, right?
What?
Playing everybody. They've already got their ticket to the postseason punched, and they're playing everybody.
Well, can I ask you a question? You guys, this is a serious question.
Yeah.
The weird thing that happened this week in the pennant race, especially in the National League, is that Brandon Belt broke his thumb.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Did you see the play that he broke his thumb on?
No, I didn't.
All right. He was trying to bunt. All right, so this is a dead serious question. Brandon Belt has 29 home runs. In what scenario would you tell him to bunt?
Runners on first and second, nobody out?
No, you want him to try and hit a three-run homer.
Were they in a shift?
I don't know, but I mean, would you ever tell?
Was he bunting away?
Would you
from
ever
the
tell
shift?
In that scenario, like the equivalent of our guys that have 29 home runs are Max Muncy, Mookie, maybe Justin Turner.
Turner.
Would you in any scenario, would you tell them to bunt?
If he was trying to beat the shift, in other words, you know,
they're trying to get on
where there's nobody, right? When they have the shifts are egregious, especially where we were sitting last night. We saw the shifts; they were ridiculous. I mean, everybody is.
Yeah, they
got to
get rid of them.
On the
I think they're gonna.
Side. One guy's in the outfield. Shortstop is there. Nobody at third. If you can bunt your way on because of the shift, go ahead and bunt your way on. I don't know the specifics of exactly why he did it, but if that was the case, he wanted to be a base runner. He wanted to get on base, and he could beat the shift. That would be the scenario where I think he would bunt.
I just don't think he would ever, a guy with 20, like I would never ask Max Muncy to bunt under any condition.
I mean, I actually might ask Max Muncy to
do
that. He's been struggling a little bit.
Yeah,
not
but he's got 35 homers. I want him to find his
groove.
Here's
the thing, though, John, this is just a fact. The Dodgers last night were 2 of 11 with runners in scoring position.
Yeah, so why would you tell a guy to bunt?
You want guys to work their way out. You want base runners. You want base runners.
No, you just said they had 11 guys in scoring position. The base runner's not the problem. Bringing them in is the problem.
In the last four games, they are 4 of 34 with runners in scoring position.
But, Mace, think about what you're saying. That means 34 times they got into scoring position. Your problem is not getting on. Your problem is getting them in. Right?
Yeah.
You want your RBI guys to swing away.
I need
away.
The specifics of the bunt to know exactly what happened.
Yeah, somebody
right?
will tell us. Somebody
yeah, but when
tell
it
us.
But when it comes to Max Muncy, if we're in that situation, he's batting fourth. So if you have him bunt to get on, that means there's nobody else on base, and then you're going to have to go to probably either Will Smith or JT after that.
Yeah, so, I don't want my power hitters bunting. I just don't.
I mean, that's what analytics say. Analytics say you should absolutely not because it's a wasted out.
Right.
But
well, not if you're bunting for a hit.
Analytics say never
shift.
Bunt.
Right, analytics say never. It doesn't matter if it's for a hit or not. You just don't know if you're going to get a hit. But bunting is not easy by any means.
Hey, I want to make sure everybody knows before we keep going here on the Dodgers. It is Ireland's lie today for lie of the day.
And tickets on the line.
We've got a pair of tickets to see the undefeated Rams, number one in everybody's power rankings, versus Kyler Murray and the Cardinals Sunday at SoFi Stadium. If you can identify what John Ireland lies about during today's show, you will have a chance at 3:30 to win those tickets. You mentioned Walker Buehler. You got to feel bad. I mean, he was really scuffling. He was throwing BP against Colorado. And last night, this is why you keep pitching a guy. So he finds his rhythm, so he finds his confidence. Seven scoreless, only threw 90 pitches. Same thing they did with Julio the other day. Julio went 5 innings scoreless. Those two guys went 12 innings scoreless. You want them to stay. You want them to have their edge. You want them to have their edge. That's why I'm you know, you may dial back a little bit like I thought they would pull Buehler after the sixth inning last night.
Well,
they
brought him out for the seventh. They only given up one hit.
Right, but again, in terms of dialing back his work, in terms of dialing – and for all you Kenley Jansen haters, that was a really nerve-wracking save for Blake Treinen. Gave up the home run, left a runner on second base, the tying runner on second base.
Key word in that sentence, save.
Okay, so here, hold on, Mace.
Why does that not count for Kenley?
Well, because it's different for Kenley. But let me ask you something. Why wasn't Kenley in that game last night?
Yeah, I've not heard any explanation for that.
Right, because...
Did he pitch the game before? Did he pitch Sunday?
No, there was no game Monday. We didn't see a game.
Yeah,
they were off.
An off day.
Yeah, it was an off day.
Sometimes they don't pitch him 2 games in a row.
Right, but at the same time, I mean, they were facing... Treinen was facing the top of the Padres lineup, and they went to Treinen instead of Kenley. Is that meaning that they didn't want to put Kenley against the top of the Padres lineup?
I think that's
you didn't trust
off.
Him?
I think that's night off.
I mean, two nights
Blake
off in
Treinen
a row?
Blake Treinen is scary. I mean, he scares me when Blake Treinen goes into the game. Can't find
gave
the strike zone.
Well,
the
way
gave up a home run.
The way
left
you
a runner
feel when
on
you're scared,
base.
That's how everybody else feels when Kenley's in the game.
But see, why does everybody not reciprocate that fear when it's Blake Treinen?
Because he's not Kenley.
See,
Kenley has a long history of sending us on a roller coaster ride.
Kenley has 35 saves.
Right.
He's got 13 straight saves and 13
ABK,
straight opportunities.
ABK, anybody but Kenley.
Oh, God, you are so ridiculous. He's been our most consistent.
Well, you know, leader. The people are with me.
That's
like, if we opened the phones right now and said, do you want to see Kenley or anybody else? Put out a poll. The overwhelming sentiment would be anybody else.
Okay, I'll put out a poll. Hey, by the way, I want to shout out Carlo Ferrer, who was the listener with us. Great guy. And his fiance Elise was there. They had a great time. We talked a lot. He works as an Uber driver and listens to us all day long. And
nice.
His wife his fiance is a doctor at the VA down in Long Beach. So they got it going on. But he listens all day long. So thank you very much to Carlo. Hey, Jorge. Do you have the Julio Urias playoff song that we had last night that we had performed live by La Corona del Ranchero by De Los Carnales?
Los Carnales. I'll look it up.
Okay.
Let me cue it up.
Say it for me. It's La Corona del Ranchero, right?
La Corona del Ranchero, yeah.
And the song is Los Dos Carnales.
That's the artist.
La Corona
What is
del
the
Ranchero.
Significance of that song?
The Crown of the Ranchero.
Okay, but why Mason, why do you want to hear? Did you hear it last night for some reason?
Yeah, no, it's because there was a big ceremony beforehand because it was Julio Urias' bobblehead night, and actual guys came out and
actual
performed
singers.
That
serious,
live.
Serious question to you guys.
Yeah.
All right? The Dodgers win the wild card game, which I'm predicting they will, okay?
Oh.
Mm-hmm. So then Scherzer will be burnt. Buehler starts game one.
Yes.
You lose it. You lose game one to the Giants. Who do you pitch in game two, Julio or Kershaw?
Julio.
Yeah, Julio.
I mean, Julio's just throwing better right now.
So you send Kershaw back out on the road?
Yes.
Yes,
game three.
Absolutely.
Game three starter.
Game three. Yeah, you got to throw Julio number two in that race. He's the third starter.
Okay.
I mean, he's
no question, even with Kershaw's Hall of Fame credentials?
Not a question. I mean, I saw him throw badly in his last start. I mean, he got lit up in his last start.
Saturday
so we'll
night,
see what
yeah,
he does
in Arizona.
Later in the week, but no. Here's a question for you. So, if Julio Urias, he's got a chance for his 20th win on Saturday night. If
right.
the Dodgers are eliminated,
yeah.
do you send him out there for a chance to win 20 games?
Can you say eliminated from winning the division, not eliminated?
Oh, eliminated from winning
the
division.
No, they can't be. Greg, they clinched the wild card last night.
I know,
I just
don't like the way it sounds.
They not only clinched the wild card, they clinched. I mean, they've had home field basically for the whole time, but now nobody can catch them. It's locked. It's Cardinals-Dodgers at Dodger Stadium in the wild card game,
unless we catch him.
The Dodgers catch the Giants. But, Mace, to answer your question, here's what I do.
Yep.
Leave it up to him.
Oh, well, I would think, especially the way he pitched on Sunday, I would
right.
think he's going to go for it.
Tell him, though, that you're probably going to pull him in the fifth or sixth inning regardless of circumstances. But if he wants to go for it, I'm not taking that away from him. It's so rare that you could win 20 games that you just go to him and say, all right, Julio, what do you want to do? If you're a little tired or your arm's sore, your velocity dropped a couple weeks ago, let us know. If you want to take a week off before you pitch in the playoffs, which is obviously probably against the Giants and probably a huge game, we'll sit you. If you want to go for 20, we'll leave you in for five innings and see if you can get it. What do you want to do?
See, I'm a big believer in maintaining an edge and maintaining rhythm. That's what the Cardinals are doing. They're maintaining an edge and they're maintaining rhythm.
But you can't – they won't pitch Wainwright again. Wainwright won last night. They won't pitch him again until the wild card game.
Well, sure, they're saving him for the wild card game. Yeah. That's who they want to start
turn,
the game.
His turn would be on Sunday, but they'll pitch him Monday or a Wednesday in the wild card
game. Sure, they're holding him back for the wild card, which, oh, God, I hate Wainwright. I just hate Wainwright. All right, we're up against it, as they would say. Coming up next for – actually, that's a good question. So let's say Julio Urias Saturday night has a chance to win his 20th game. He does. Do you send him out there or do you rest him? He's never thrown more innings than he has this year, but this is a significant personal accomplishment. Do you put that personal accomplishment above being rested for the postseason? 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-ESPN. Plus, Sean McVay, head coach of the Rams, is going to join us about 1:40 today, 1:30 today. So make sure you're here for that about 20 minutes from right now. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Turn this up, Jorge. In honor of Julio Urias.
And, John, in our section, everybody knew the words.
Oh,
everybody was singing along.
They did.
So that's did you a, just let Jorge sing and you faked it?
No, I mean, I figured out. Jorge, am I saying it right?
What? What is it?
Am I saying the name of the song right?
Yeah, La Corona del Ranchero. Yes, you are.
Yeah, okay.
All right, hey, Jorge, anybody sneak any Puriesca into the game?
Honestly, John, I have a bad sense of smell. I couldn't tell you, man, to be honest with you.
Okay.
There was, but it wasn't me.
Okay.
Yeah, there was because I was driving. And, boy, I'll tell you, the entire game, these guys know, all I talked about was, I hope I can find my car. I hope I can find my car.
Did you take a picture?
I took a picture. There are no, like you said, there are supposed to be like B6 and A9. There aren't.
Sometimes you got to walk a little bit till you get to the entrance to the section, but they're on every section.
Yeah, I mean, I went to where the K ball was next to the L ball.
Yeah,
and
just take a picture of that, and then you know you're in the ballpark.
Yeah, I made it. I did make it, but the entire game I was like, oh, God, I hope I found my section. And then, of course, these guys were like, drop a pin. It's like, oh, screw you. I don't know how to drop a pin. They're just taunting me. Taunting me.
We're like, we'll see. Well, hope to talk to you tomorrow, Mace.
Hey, by the way, have you looked at Kyler Murray's numbers?
Yeah. I mean, I've seen, not specifically, but I know he's lighting it up.
Yeah. He's Stafford's main competition for MVP so far.
You think so?
Yeah. No, so. I mean, I look at his numbers. He's having, they're 3-0. He's been great in all three games. So
he has been fantastic. They're racking up a lot of points. By the way,
with Sean McVay coming up at the bottom of the hour, we'll ask Sean, how do you defend that guy? Because the problem is, if the play breaks down, he just takes off running. You know, and there's only a handful of quarterbacks. Like, it's the same way with Lamar Jackson. Sometimes the play breaking down favors the Cardinals because then Kyler Murray, who's really fast, just takes off. So I wonder if you leave a spy home, a linebacker home, just to watch him.
So, Kyler Murray, according to Vegas, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, is sixth in MVP odds.
Is Stafford one?
Stafford's one. Then Tom Brady. Then Pat Mahomes, who, you know, the 1 and 2 is very deceiving, I think. Patrick Mahomes will figure it out. Aaron Rodgers, Josh Allen, and then Kyler Murray. Followed by Dak Prescott, Justin Herbert,
Dak
and Lamar
Prescott's
Jackson.
Been ridiculously good so far.
And Derek Carr is number 11. He could be higher.
Yeah, it'll shake itself out.
But, man, It is so much fun. We'll talk to McVay about this. But what I'm really curious about is, you know how last year there was that you can talk to the guy in his helmet up to 15 seconds left in the play clock? You remember that?
Yes.
So he was.
Can you no longer do that?
No, they can do it. I just wonder what that conversation is like now. In other words, how often does Matthew Stafford audible out of McVay's play call?
We'll ask him. He's coming up at the bottom of the hour. We'll ask him.
Yeah, because I'm sure he's got
On DraftKings, Mace, Kyler Murray is the favorite for NFL MVP, plus 750.
Okay. All right, on DraftKings.
Yeah.
Do you play daily fantasy? You should
get
in our daily fantasy league.
I don't. Yeah, I don't have time.
It's Max. It's Marcellus. All it is plugging a lineup.
Yeah, I don't have time.
Max, Marcellus. It's a fun league.
I got the Real Housewives to watch, man. I don't got time.
Oh, God. Yeah, you want to just unleash that on me?
No. We'll do it later.
Oh, God. That is just brutal.
Yeah, somebody in the New York Post is arguing that The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills is the best show on television. And that's blasphemy because it's obvious that The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City is the best show on television. That's the problem. Hey, how long did it take you to get out of Dodger Stadium? Well, you probably left early, right?
No, I didn't leave early. I was there at the end.
You stayed for the whole game?
Yeah, stayed for the whole game.
How long did it take you to get out?
Trying and save. Got home in about 90 minutes, I would say.
Okay.
Yeah,
not
which isn't
awful.
Which isn't bad for Dodger Stadium. It's a little bit less for SoFi Stadium. It's a little bit easier at SoFi Stadium than it is at Dodger Stadium. But Dodger Stadium will always be. They will never solve that problem. Will always be brutal, unfortunately.
I got
four souvenir cups, by the way.
Yeah, that's just disgusting.
You know what's cool? We all got nachos. They actually put a piece of paper under the nacho cup so I could just take the nachos out and have an empty cup.
That's right. Bergman didn't have to wash the helmet.
I did not have to wash the helmet, which is great.
That's what excites you in life at this point?
Yes, I have something
for... have to wash your nacho helmet?
Yes, exactly. I have something that will work perfectly for soup and cereal.
Now, soup and cereal. Why would you not take my nacho helmet which was unclaimed?
Because of
more soup, more cereal.
For the exact same reason why I wouldn't take a random nacho helmet that was hanging around the
floor.
He
doesn't know where you've been.
Right.
Yes, he does. I've been at my house.
What are you talking about? Yeah, so why would he want your nacho helmet?
Okay, I want to ask you this. Greg and I, we've got this prep sheet, right?
Yeah.
And John has it.
I got it right open.
And Jorge has it and Greg has it. Bergie has it. So it took – are you looking at it right now?
Yeah.
Okay. So it took about 20 minutes for me to spell the word souvenir. It is a very tricky word to spell.
It was very funny to watch him try and spell it, too. He kept going like the S-U-O.
I'm not sure I could do it.
Spell it.
That is a very –
it's a very tricky word.
All right.
Tricky how?
I will go
– tricky to spell.
S O U V I N I R, souvenir.
Nope, I'm sorry.
See, I can't spell it.
S O U V E N I R.
Oh, I had one I where an E was.
Exactly.
To
exactly. Okay. But you were in the ballpark. You were in the ballpark.
That's nothing to be embarrassed about. That's a hard word.
Jorge asked multiple times last night, who do you want to be the shortstop next year? Is that how you phrased it, Jorge?
Yeah.
Let me tell you what's going to happen
next year.
I would love for Corey Seager to stay. I think Corey Seager's a great player. But let's tell the unvarnished truth. You won't hear this on the other station. Corey Seager is going to market because Scott Boras is his agent. And Seager is going to find out how much – like the Yankees don't have a shortstop. They got a third baseman playing shortstop right now. Corey Seager is going to get offered so much money by another team that the Dodgers are going to have to make a decision. Because theoretically, Mace, they've got Trey Turner ready to slide into shortstop, and they got Gavin Lux ready to slide into second. If you believe Bellinger's going to find his way, your outfield's set for next year, too.
But Corey Seager has been so friggin' clutch, MVP of the NLCS, MVP of the World Series.
I agree with you. I think that if they want to keep him, they'll keep him. They're owned by a hedge fund. But I'm just saying he's not – the Dodgers can make him a preemptive offer, and he's not taking it.
Meanwhile, Trey Turner is making $13 million this year. Then he's got another year of arbitration.
Absolute steal.
Yeah. I think I'd rather see Trey Turner at the plate than any Dodger right now.
Well, and here's the thing. You cannot explain to me. I asked Clinton Yates, who's a Nationals fan, when we had him on.
Yep.
You cannot explain to me, if you are a Major League Baseball team, how you throw Trey Turner in that deal. That Max Scherzer trade, especially if the Dodgers win the World Series this year, could go down as the best in-season trade in Dodger history. Because you get Max Scherzer, who would then lead you to a World Series title, and you get Trey Turner for 3 years?
Yeah.
How in the world did they pull that off?
Well, I mean, how will you feel if Keibert Ruiz becomes an all-star catcher in Washington?
I hope he does.
And Max Scherzer leaves.
Well, then we still get Turner.
Yeah, we get Turner no matter what. I think Turner is probably the shortstop of the future, and they don't sign.
Well, I think that it depends what the market dictates. It depends what a team like the Yankees or the Cubs or, you know, teams with money that don't have a shortstop, it depends what they do.
Well, here's the thing that's interesting about the shortstop situation is I don't think these guys are going to get what they expect to get. Because there are three other shortstops on the market who will command gigantic contracts. Carlos Correa, Javi Baez, and Trevor Story.
I would rather have Corey Seager than any of them. Correa's the toughest one. Because
Correa has
a history, and he's big, and he's a power hitter. But
what I'm saying, if you've got four shortstops out there, there may be less money for shortstops than we expect. Corey Seager may not. I mean,
yeah, and the Dodgers have a very, very strong plan B.
Oh, yeah. No
like,
question.
No Dodger fans are going to complain if next year the starting lineup is Trey Turner at short and Gavin Lux at second.
Yep. No, especially Gavin Lux has really proved himself during this stretch run. Really proved himself. All right, coming up next for you, Coach Sean McVay is expected to join us. He of the undefeated Los Angeles Rams. They're playing the Cardinals on Sunday at SoFi Stadium. Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
By the way, I'm doing a great job lately of responding to every email. So if you want to email the show, venicemace@gmail.com. All right, time to spin the wheel of questions. It's presented by our friends at Puente Hills Toyota. If you got a car that's just sitting around not being used, bring it to Puente Hills Toyota today for an instant cash offer. Puente Hills Toyota is the house of yes. All right, Jorge, let's give that a spin. Okay. The question is, if Jurassic Park was real, would you go?
Wow. And we can't assume it's safe, right? You just go and see what happens?
Well, I mean, let's say it is. It's not like it is in the movie. In the movie, it all falls apart. Let's say they've got their, you know, what
okay,
together.
So I don't know if you had these in Ohio, but when I was a kid growing up in Southern California, we had a place called Lion Country Safari.
Oh, yeah, I know that. I know that kind of scene.
And you can just drive your car in there, and it was basically a jungle. Like,
yep.
The elephants and the giraffes, and everybody would walk right up to your car. So I think I would go to Jurassic Park.
Wow.
I mean, where else are you going to see
that stuff? I'm surprised
at
you.
Yeah, why not? I mean, I guess I'm taking a small risk. Oh, here's Michael.
Oh, it's Michael Thompson joining us. MT, what's going on?
Now you're talking my subjects, baby. Talking about dinosaurs.
Dinosaurs.
Now, Michael, so you would go if there was a real-life Jurassic Park?
Try to stop me. I'd go on a big hunt. No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't go hunt, but I definitely –
Michael, as a matter
dreams.
Of fact, Lion Country Safari is not far from where you live now.
Yeah, yeah. I know. I wouldn't want to do that because I don't like zoos. They've got those
lot
because Jurassic Park is different. The animals are out in the wild, in the jungle. So you basically are going into their habitat, right?
Yeah,
so,
you're going into their habitat.
So like when you go to the Serengeti, you're going to see the animals in their own natural habitat. So yeah, that's one of my dreams to be able to see a T-Rex live. Oh,
you know they're trying. I read an article about them trying to bring back a woolly mammoth with DNA cells that they found in amber, just like in Jurassic Park.
Can't be done. It can only be done by one person.
Who?
God.
God. All
probably
right.
True. There's all right, joining us right now is the talk of the town, the head coach of the Los Angeles Rams, Sean McVay, who led the Rams to a huge victory over Tampa Bay this past Sunday, and he's got another tough number this weekend. Got to take on Kyler Murray and the Arizona Cardinals. Coach, how you feeling?
Yeah, you just said it. It was good. Enjoy it quickly, and now on to the next one, and a great challenge in the Cardinals.
So we were just having a conversation. We'll throw you something weird. If Jurassic Park was real, would you go, Coach?
Hell no.
Why,
you mean like, you mean with like no protection and I got a T-Rex available to eat me?
Yes.
What kind of, who would say yes to that?
I'm saying yes.
Michael Thompson's assuming here.
They've got their stuff together. In other words, they're not going to roam free. In the movie, they all broke out. And
when
all
you say Jurassic Park, all I'm picturing is pure catastrophic events. I mean, we got to have some clarity in the communication. I mean, if you're saying this is a safe environment, I've always kind of wanted to go on a safari exploration. So I guess this is the closest, if you're throwing out fake scenarios, let's go Jurassic Park.
Yeah, well, that's excellent. That's excellent. Yeah, now you get the right attitude. All right, so, Coach, let me ask you about the game this past Sunday. You guys played pretty close to a perfect game if I'm sitting at home watching, but you break down this film and look at everything. Is there anything you didn't like about that performance, or was that pretty much all you can ask for out of your guys to beat the Bucks as convincingly as they did?
Well, I mean, you have tremendous respect for the Bucks, and our guys did a great job, but there's always things that you can clean up. You know, I think we can start faster offensively. I thought the D did a great job starting off the game the right way. You saw some good improvement from our special teams, but there's always going to be things that you can improve on. But, you know, the enemy has his say, and got tremendous respect for the Bucks. But, you know, what we did last week was good, but you got to be able to improve and move on. And this week's a new challenge, and you don't have much time to enjoy that previous one. Whether you win or lose, you got to be able to move on in this league, and that's what we're doing now.
Let me throw you this. We saw Tom Brady. He's 44 years old. He says he can play till 50. Do you think he can play till 50?
I'm not doubting anything about Tom Brady. You know, the guy that has won 7 rings, still playing at a high level. I got tremendous respect for him. Whatever he says, it's hard for me to ever dispute it.
Sean McVay, the coach of the Rams, is with us. Okay, let's look ahead to the Cardinals. Coach, we were talking last half hour that Kyler Murray has got to be a pretty tough cover for Raheem Morris, your defense, and everybody in your coaching office, because if a play breaks down, he can save it with his legs. What do you tell your defense about defending Kyler Murray?
Yeah, you just said it. He's such a problem. You know, he's throwing the ball so well. He's seeing the field really well. He's got great playmakers at his disposal. Cliff Kingsbury does an excellent job putting him in good spots. But then when things go off schedule or when they break down, he is a nightmare to deal with. And he can extend plays with his legs. He can extend plays by keeping his eyes down the field and making great throws to these playmakers. And they do a great job working off schedule for him. And so playing as good as anybody in the league. It's why they're so dynamic and successful offensively, but this is a really good team, and they're 3-0 for a reason.
Take me inside something. We know you're talking to Matthew Stafford in his head as you start getting ready for a play. How often, or what's the leeway for Matthew Stafford to get to the line and change the play?
A lot. He's got full autonomy and whatever he sees based on the certain scenarios and the situations, and he's so smart that he understands when he can activate those tools, but that's part of what the week of the preparation and the process entails is, all right, hey, here's kind of the thought process, but he's equipped with all the tools at his disposal, and he's at the switch, and he's got autonomy to make those decisions if he feels like it's the best thing for our team based on what he's seeing.
Sean McVay, the coach of the Rams, is with us. Sean, what's the status of your running game? I know you're hoping to get Daryl Henderson back. You got Sony Michel for now. You guys had a little bit of trouble running the ball, but nobody runs the ball against Tampa, really. They've got an unbelievable run defense. What's the status of your run game going into the Arizona game?
Yeah, it's the same. I think we're going to be able to – I'm hopeful that we will get Daryl back. I thought Sony Michel did a great job. I mean, you mentioned it. That's a really tough defense that I thought we got some good hard-earned yards against. I thought Sony leveled some runs off. You know, Robert had a carry, as did Jake Funk. And so They're a really challenging defense, as is this one. You know, Coach Joseph for the Cardinals does a great job of applying a lot of pressure on you. They got great personnel all across the board, and so we got to take a step in the right direction, but it's easier said than done, without a doubt.
Coach Sean McVay is with us, Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. So you are coaching. You have a relationship with Cliff Kingsbury. I think it would be a friendship. What's it like coaching against a friend?
You know what? Once the game starts, you don't really think about that. You know, you talk to some of your boys, before the game, and, you know, you want to see everybody stay safe and have a good competitive game. But once the thing's kicked off, you know, you're trying to do everything you can for your team and make good decisions and try to put your guys in good spots to let them, have success. And that's kind of what that entails. You don't really think too much about it.
Sean McVay with us. Coach, you guys had one penalty. One against Tampa Bay, which is awesome. That's really hard to pull off in an NFL game. Is that kind of luck of the draw that the officiating went your way, or is that something you guys actually work on and pay attention to?
Well, you definitely want to be intentional about helping the players understand the nuances of the rules. And, you know, the good teams, they don't beat themselves. There's certain things that do come up that are competitive within the framework of the game that you can't always avoid, but I think the good teams do a good job of minimizing those things that where you kind of beat yourself. And so that is a point of emphasis. Our guys have done a great job through the first 3 weeks, and it's something that I think we've got to continue in that direction.
Last thing for me. So DeSean Jackson had the catch on the bomb. Actually, I had two really big catches. And on the bomb, you ran all the way down the sidelines and congratulated DeSean. How fast are you? Like, if you and DeSean were in a race, how would that go?
If I tried to open up, I would pull both hamstrings immediately keeping up with DeSean. That was a cool jog I had going. That's all I got, man. I'm 35 going on 80. So I got no juice left in me anymore. I try to get out of here and run around with the players a little bit, but you saw the maximum high speed yards for me right there, and I'm going to keep that governor at a very low pace.
All right, and Coach, last thing overall, I thought the crowd was noticeably a factor. Not that they weren't in the Bears game, but I thought they were actually louder in the Bucks game. Did you notice that?
I thought it was incredible. The fans were electric. The atmosphere was incredible. It was as good as atmosphere as I've ever been a part of. The fact that that's our home field is so great. It's such a credit to Mr. Kroenke, the vision that he had, and looking forward to seeing those guys, you know, our fans have that thing rocking again this week against a great team in the Arizona Cardinals.
Awesome. Well, I will be there. Who's House Rams House? Sean, thanks a lot for coming on, man. We appreciate it.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
Well,
I can't
get on you guys for softball questions, because when a guy's 3-0 and dominating the league, there's nothing to get on him
about. Is there anything we didn't ask that you would have asked?
No, because everything's cookies and cream for the Rams right now, so what's to complain about?
Michael, you watch more football than anybody I know. Do you think the Rams are the best team in the NFL?
So far, after 3 weeks, they sure look like it. They're dominating teams.
Okay, I want to ask you this when we come back, Michael. Mm-hmm. Who's second? If the Rams are the most dominating team in the NFL, all who's right. second? We all got right. that coming up next for you. MT is hanging out. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. Yeah. Whose house? Rams house. As Sean McVay said, it was one of the loudest experiences I've ever had. You know, that roof makes all the difference in the world. And, you know, there was a little section of Tampa Bay fans there, and they were scattered throughout. But, I mean, those were Rams fans, top to bottom, 70,000 people, and they were loud. And I thought that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers had a couple of illegal procedure, jumped offside a couple of times. I thought the crowd had an impact on that game.
Well, Andrew Whitworth, after the game, said, and he's been around forever, said it was the best game, loudest game that he had ever been a part of his whole career. And he would tell us so there you go. All right, so Michael, who's the second best team? And if the Rams are the best team after 3 weeks, who's second?
Cardinals. They've got an excellent offense, and their defense is solid this year. They've got a top five quarterback, or one of the top five most dynamic quarterbacks in Kyler Murray. So they look like they're the real deal. It looks like it's going to come down to, you're probably going to win, 17 games this year. You're going to have to win 13 games to win this division.
So you are just a huge fan of running quarterbacks. That is really your
Well, Michael, if I made you pick, if I gave you your choice between Kyler Murray and Lamar Jackson, who would you take?
Oh, Lamar. Lamar's the most dynamic player in the game because of his threat to break a game open at any time. And the other day he would have had like 400 yards passing if Marquise Brown could have caught the ball. He dropped like three touchdown passes. But Lamar's still the most dynamic player in the game, even though obviously we know about Mahomes and Kyler Murray. Stafford's playing like a stud this year, like the MVP. But, yeah, I mean, the Cardinals are for real, and obviously the Rams are too. So it's going to come down to those two teams here in the NFC, along with Tampa. Those are the top three teams in the NFC, no doubt.
Here's my question. So Tampa, it's this time of year when you're trying to figure out how good a team really is. This team is 3-0, but the wins are over Jacksonville, a bad Vikings team, and a struggling Tennessee team. And all those games, the Vikings game was 34-33. So these are really close games. I just wonder what we're going to see. I think the Rams defense is going to do a great job. The Rams secondary in particular, with David Long Jr., with Jalen Ramsey, with Darius Williams, with other guys whose names I can't remember, with those guys. With those guys, I think they're going to be able to lock up and contain Kyler Murray.
Well, I mean,
Taylor Rapp was the other guy I was trying to think of.
Well, they're in the secondary. By the time he gets to the secondary, you're in trouble.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm assuming he's probably going to get into the secondary a fair amount of the time.
Yeah, well, if he gets there, you ain't gonna get him before he gets. He's too elusive. He's like a Barry Sanders who plays quarterback.
The Rams defense has bent but not broken. I mean, they gave up almost 500 yards to Tom Brady, but when you get down to the red zone, they have been very, very good at making big plays.
We might be overlooking your boy out of SC, Sam Darnold, the Panthers. They've only given up 30 points this year. So
by the way,
their defense is good. But, Michael, are the Raiders for real?
Yeah, oh, yeah, of course they are. Yeah, you're not 3-0 without being for real. Of course they are. And they've got themselves a nice home field advantage in Vegas, man. That place goes nuts.
Yeah, I want to see what that stadium's like. I want to see how it compares.
I can't believe it only cost $1.8 million. Didn't the Rams stadium cost like
$5 billion.
Over $5 billion, yeah.
Yeah, why is it so cheap in Vegas and so expensive here?
Vegas got a lot of help from the city.
No, but $1.8 billion is the cost of the whole stadium.
The Rams just went crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, they're owned by a billionaire who's married to a billionaire, and they just said, screw it, we're going for it.
Now, does SoFi have an open roof, Mace, or is it sort of?
It's got – the sides are open, so there's a cross breeze, but there's
an
acrylic see-through roof over most of the stadium.
Why didn't
That's why
like,
it's so loud.
Why didn't they have, like, a sliding roof like Cowboy Stadium so it could be open air, especially in L.A.?
I think they want it to be loud, Michael.
Oh.
I think they want it to be loud. They wanted to have that dome vibe. And yeah, I understand. Like, I went to Mercedes-Benz. I went to the Super Bowl. And they had that roof that sort of closed and opened like an Oculus. It was really, really cool. But I love the fact that it is loud. I think that roof is one of the reasons.
Isn't the Super Bowl here this year?
It is. Oh. Yeah, Rams going to the Super Bowl.
Guys, think about that. If the Rams continue to win, and it's very early, I mean, it's only three games out of a 17-game season. But if they could secure the number one seed in the NFC, they would never have to leave in the postseason. They would have home field for every playoff game, and then the Super Bowl is at SoFi. Michael, that's got to be a tremendous advantage.
Oh, yeah. I bet you. That's a huge motivator to get the best record in the league this year. To make sure
you know
every
who my
played.
Second best team in the league
who
is?
Who you got? Please say it's Baltimore.
It's not. It's the Chiefs.
Oh, sure.
I know they've scuffled. Yeah. I know Patrick
really,
Mahomes
really close games, though.
Has not been great. They've been in every single game. I know they're 1-2, but if they played the Rams, I think they would win five times.
Their defense is horrible. I could score
really
on those guys.
Bad. And the other thing is, have you noticed the Patrick Mahomes effect, guys? Twice at the end of games, the other team has gone for it on fourth and somewhat long. The Chargers did it on 4th and 9. Just because they don't want to give the ball back to Mahomes. Both the Ravens and the Chargers went for it on 4th down because you kind of have to, right, Michael?
That's
if
right.
you give the ball back to Mahomes with like a minute to go.
As what the 49ers found out about Aaron Rodgers with 37 seconds to go.
So it changes the dynamic of the game. Like coaches who would never go for it are just looking at their assistants and looking at their quarterback and we have to go for it.
Yeah.
Because we can't get the ball back to Mahomes. And the Chiefs have been burned twice by that. So, Mace, I'm with you. Even though they're 1-2, I would be scared of them. I think I think Buffalo got woken up by losing to the Steelers in week one.
They're my pick this week again against the
You can't, Michael. You got to pick a different team.
Oh, I got to pick another one?
Yeah, you got to pick a different team.
The only rule of Survivor is you can't take the same team twice.
Who the Rams
play
this
week? I'm taking Buffalo. The Rams are playing Cardinals.
Mace, I'm taking Buffalo also.
Oh, yeah. We're all – if Buffalo
But my
loses,
mom and Michael can't take Buffalo because they took them last week. Michael, you don't want the Rams this week. They're playing Kyler Murray.
Yeah, that's right. It's a tough matchup. But it's here in L.A., right?
Yeah.
It's here in L.A.
Yeah, but you're right. That's going to be an explosive
game.
Why
don't you look at the schedule before
I am looking at the schedule right now to see where I want to go. Boy, some tough games this year.
Tell us who wins
Raiders-Chargers?
Ooh, I know. That's – boy, I tell you. Hey, what did I tell you? You know, if you're the Miami Dolphins, you should be kicking yourself every freaking day passing up Herbert for Tua Tagovailoa. That's unbelievable.
Yeah, Tua is not Justin Herbert.
Definitely not. Mace, I was screaming that before the draft.
Were you?
Yes, I was saying the
Dolphins. So much screaming. I never know if you're screaming correctly or incorrectly.
I was saying the Dolphins need a quarterback. They better get that boy out of Oregon. But they wouldn't listen to me.
You were all over Zach Wilson. You were all over Justin
Fields. No, I didn't say nothing about Zach Wilson.
Tony Romo says he's going to be as good as Patrick Mahomes.
No, Michael, the quarterbacks you've missed on.
Like who?
The biggest miss is Tebow.
He was a playoff-winning quarterback.
Right, but you admit now that he's not an NFL-caliber QB.
Because he was unconventional, and you stick in the mud, everybody's got to be Tom
Brady.
What
about Vince Young?
Vince was rookie of the year. He led his team to the playoffs, and then he lost his mind off the field. But
so
on the field, he could play.
You refuse to admit that you were wrong about Tim Tebow and Vince Young?
No, I wasn't wrong about Vince. He had the talent. He said he got misguided with his off-the-field lifestyle. He said he blew it.
Were you wrong about Tebow?
No. How was I wrong? Didn't he lead the Denver Broncos to the playoff and a playoff win?
Michael, his career was like 3 years.
Because everybody didn't want a mobile running off.
And if you were an NFL GM, you would have gone with Tebow?
I would have stuck with him a couple more years to see if he could work. Yeah, because it worked in Denver, and then John Elway gave up on him. It worked, didn't it?
And everybody, by the way, Michael, gave up on
him. By the way, as soon as they gave up on him, they brought in Peyton Manning and won the Super Bowl.
Everybody was trying to tell not to draft Lamar Jackson, too. How'd that work out? Please.
Well, you were right about that one.
Jeez. Yeah, no, that one you were correct.
Everybody. See, people like you, Mace, want everybody to be a statue in the pocket.
No, I don't.
You want everybody to be Joe Flacco.
I like scramble ability. I don't think you've got to necessarily run, but I like a guy who's elusive.
Hey, Greg, do we need to take a break or do we have 2 minutes?
You have 2 minutes.
Okay. Michael, you, like me, love Pardon the Interruption, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay. So we found an unbelievable clip. They're doing a Pardon the Interruption retrospective because it's 20 years that Kornheiser and Wilbon have been on. Okay, do you remember the first five picks in the 2003 NBA draft? That's the LeBron draft.
Oh, yeah, of course.
All right, so what were LeBron number one, right?
LeBron went one. Milicic went two.
Darko, right?
Carmelo went three. Four was Bosch. Five was Wade.
Okay.
So let's hold this, John. Let's hold this.
He just said we have 2 minutes.
Yeah, no, he just got in my head and said hold it till after the break.
No, I said let him answer after the conversation.
Okay, let him answer after the conversation.
Right, right.
Okay, got it. So we'll let him answer after the conversation. God, Bergie. you just got in my ear and said.
I said let him.
So do you idiots want to play it or not?
At this point, let's play it.
Play it next.
It's too late now. Now we're just going all crazy.
Play it next.
No. Play it
next. We'll do that coming up. Tony Kornheiser and Michael Wilbon are not always right. We'll just tease it that way. Mason in Ireland, Michael Thompson hanging out 710 ESPN.